Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears, off and running with you on this Monday, January the 18th, 2021, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So we know a lot of kids will not be in school today, which is actually, you know, this is all kind of strange because I know a lot of kids aren't going to school right now anyway because of the pandemic, but I do think some schools are starting back with a hybrid model this week. So I guess some kids are out of school today because of the holiday. Banks will not be open. Mail will not run today. It's interesting to me that in this pandemic, we seem to be forgetting these holidays that we used to pay so much attention to, when the mail doesn't run, when federal and local state offices are not open, city offices are not opened, things like that. But during this pandemic, so many people are off anyway. I don't know if people pay a whole lot of attention to what's going on. So we'll just roll with that this morning. But it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, 2021 edition of this day, 15 minutes past the hour here. Now, there are a few things I want to go through this morning. And to start this morning, what I want to talk about is the rally. And, you know, we're trying to get this information right throughout the morning today. Well, we're trying to get the information right since yesterday. Now, allegedly, and I use the term allegedly because who really knows in general, but allegedly yesterday, at many state capitals across the United States, there was supposed to be what they called Stop the Steal protests. Now, those are not my terms. That is what was on brochures and pamphlets and Facebook sites. But allegedly, a lot of the Facebook sites have been taken down that were putting that up to advertise this Stop the Steal protest. Now, these were touted as armed protests. So, here's what happened yesterday, because I went down to cover these protests. Now, they were supposed to get underway at noon at the Ohio State House in Columbus, you know, downtown. And what we knew was really, I think since Friday, a lot of businesses had closed downtown. A lot of businesses had boarded their windows up. The National Guard was going to be down there on call. A lot of police and law enforcement would be down there because of this event that was supposed to take place on Sunday. Now, all of that ended up being true. When I went down to Columbus yesterday, I arrived there a little bit after noon. It wasn't too long after noon, but it was amazing in a way to see Columbus, Ohio, which I think the last time I was in Columbus was right before Christmas, and I was right down at the State House. When I went down there to the Columbus Commons to see the Christmas lights, which I did twice last holiday season, in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, that's right across the street from the State House. And as a matter of fact, during one of those trips to the Columbus Commons, I went over to the State House and filmed some footage for a Christmas thing I was doing, which is online if you want to take a look at it. So I knew what it looked like, and I knew up close what the situation was in Columbus down by the State House. And what was kind of shocking to me as I went down there yesterday was that I was aware that these businesses were told not to open up, and I was aware that a lot of them had boarded up. But until you see it right in front of your face, it's very different. Very, very, very different. You know, when I got down there, I wanted to find a restroom because I knew once we got over near the State House, I was sure there would not be a restroom around because I knew all the businesses were closed. So we were driving around that area trying to find a restroom. And usually when you're trying to find a restroom, you either look for a fast food place or a restaurant or a gas station. And we were driving down through there and we saw a Marathon gas station and thought, okay, let's get out, use the restroom here, and then head on over to the State House, which was just a couple blocks away. And as we pulled up to the Marathon gas station, the first thing that you noticed was that all the windows and the door, which were all glass, I'm sure, were completely boarded up. So you couldn't really tell anything that was going on inside the Marathon gas station. So I got out of the car and I walked up to the door, and it was closed. A Marathon gas station. This is not a mom and pop shop. This is a chain. And the gas station was closed on a Sunday at noon. And as you got over toward the State House, you noticed that these big businesses were all boarded up and closed. The ones that I could see perfectly were there was a Starbucks boarded up and closed. There was a CVS pharmacy that was boarded up and closed. There was a Subway restaurant which was boarded up and closed. And it was just shocking to see that, because it looked like, and somebody said this on Facebook this morning, it looked like a big storm was coming, like a hurricane. And we don't see hurricanes in Ohio. Most people are not putting plywood on the windows of their businesses, even when they suspect a big storm is around the corner. So to see that was just unbelievable. And the Ohio Theater, which is right across the street from the State House, all boarded up, completely boarded up, the front of it. And by the way, I took a picture. Well, Angie Evers, who was with me, took a lot of pictures of these sites, which are kind of unbelievable, and they are on the Facebook page, my Facebook page. If you go there, you can see a lot of these pictures of what kind of looks like a third world area yesterday. And the other thing that made it so strange was the number of police officers and the number of military that were down there. It was an enormous amount. As you drove around the area, and one of the first things I saw was the Ohio Supreme Court. And as you drove by the Supreme Court, there were just officers posted at every entrance and at the doors and parking garages. You had cruisers blocking the exits and entrances to parking garages down there. But once you got over to the State House grounds, you just had a line of officers standing in front of the William McKinley statue, officers in front of the Christopher Columbus statue, officers and military standing in front of the doors of the State House. And I just have to tip my Cubs cap to these men and women who were doing this yesterday, because, you know, I'm sure they started awful early and were there awful late yesterday, and I'm not sure how long this presence is going to continue in downtown Columbus. But we talk an awful lot about officers and military, and, you know, sometimes the wording we use and the opinions we give are not the most flattering. But this yesterday was the perfect example of keeping us safe. And you've got to look to people like that who give up a Sunday to go into a situation that could have been very bad to keep us safe. And to keep the State House safe is really, really what a lot of this was all about. Although I'm still not sure what the protest groups who were showing up were planning on doing. I have not understood, even dating back to storming the Capitol, I have really not understood what the purpose of all this is. Now, I have seen people get arrested in relation to the Capitol breach of January the 6th, but what were they there to do? You know, they did break in. Some windows were broken. Some doors to offices were broken open. Unfortunately, some people did end up losing their lives. People took selfies in the Senate chamber and in people's offices, and podiums were carried around. You know, this is what I saw being done. So again, I'm not really sure what the point of any of this is. Now, of course, it's vandalism. You break windows, you break into people's offices. You can't do that. So it is breaking a law. But what was the intent? What was the intent? I really don't know. And if anybody has any ideas on this, give me a call. I still really don't know what the intent was on January the 6th, and I don't know what the intent was going to be yesterday had these people done anything, which they didn't, thank goodness. But there was a rather large military and police presence. So I think that would probably stop you from trying to do anything. But again, I want to thank everybody who was down there, military and police-wise, because I'm sure that made anybody think twice from trying to do anything, for trying to do anything bad. And that's a good thing. Now, another thing, there were two things that were striking about this this event yesterday. Number one, the size of it was very small in terms of a protest. I don't know what the total number ended up being, but when I was there between 12 and 2 o'clock, there was not a large group of people there in terms of a protest. I don't know how many were there, and I'm going to guess under 100. I don't think there were 100 people on the State House grounds. Now, one person even remarked to me that they thought it looked like there were more military and police officers than there were protesters. And that very well could have been. There just weren't a lot of protesters, which, again, could be a good thing. Now, I'm going to come back to this in just a second because there's a point I want to make about that. But the other point is again, this was touted as a Stop the Steal rally. Now, something else that was interesting was when you looked across the street, and I was 20 to 30 feet from the front of the State House, just across the street is where I was doing the filming and the audio work, taking pictures. It was interesting to see that there was a Black Lives Matter flag flying, so that group was there, which you would not expect. I would not have suspected. There was a gentleman carrying around a Biden-Harris 2020, it looked like yard sign, carrying that around, and I would think this certainly would not be his group. And there was a gentleman holding a sign that said, sore losers, go home, or get over it, or something to that effect. So the opposition to the Stop the Steal protesters was there. And you know, that's interesting, because yesterday was an example of what we are allowed to do in this country. We are allowed to protest peacefully. And as the reports are at this particular point, the people who were there for the Stop the Steal, the people who were there for Black Lives Matter, the people who were there for Biden-Harris, nobody got out of hand. So this is good. You are allowed to make signs. You are allowed to chant. You are allowed to go on the statehouse grounds and protest as long as you don't break any law or hurt any other people. So, that's that. Now, when I come back to the group that was there for the Stop the Steal protest, again, peaceful group, did not cause any harm yesterday, but they were carrying, they were armed, which it was touted as an armed protest, but they had very big, it was not handguns, it was not shotguns, let's put it that way. It was the bigger variety of guns, and if you look online, you'll see on my Facebook page what kind of guns they had, and I'm not really sure what they, I would guess they were the AR variety. I was across the street. I couldn't really identify them right off the top of my head, but they were the automatic, I guess, automatic type of guns, automatic type of rifles. So they had those and were walking around the statehouse. Now, that's just a weird picture to see. Because I would think on any given day at the Columbus Statehouse, if somebody walked up with one of these big AR guns, that people would be really on top of this person. So to see groups of them carrying them around was kind of interesting. I don't know what that symbolizes either in regard to yesterday's protest. I'm not sure why it was supposed to be an armed protest, but again, nothing happened, so we're all happy, and we hope that continues on through Wednesday. Now, does anybody have any thoughts on that? Has anybody looked at my Facebook page and looked at the pictures or watched the 3-minute video that I have up there? And by the way, I do want to thank Angie Evers for taking the pictures and filming the video that we took yesterday at the Columbus Statehouse. Now, does anybody have any thoughts on this whole matter? It was just a weird happening. Good happening in that nothing bad happened, but just something you don't see every day. Certainly an oddity. Give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944, or what do you feel the next 3 days are going to be like? Because President Biden is going to be sworn in as president on Wednesday, and there is a lot of military presence in Washington, D.C. at this particular point to try to keep things safe. And I know a person from Marion who's in the National Guard who was deployed last week to D.C. because of this whole mess that's going on. So we just hope, because they are ahead of it, the National Guard and all the police officers in D.C., that this does end up being a peaceful protest, if any, on Wednesday, on Inauguration Day, and that nothing happens today or tomorrow leading into Wednesday that would cause people to act out in a bad way. Hopefully we've seen enough of that. It would be nice now if we didn't have to deal with any protests, violent protests. You're always allowed to protest peacefully. No violent protests, no riots, nobody getting killed, nobody getting threatened. If we could do that all around, well, really for the rest of our lives, not just the next 3 days, but if we could do that, we're all going to be a little better off for it, I think. So hopefully that's what happens, and we'll just put it at that at this particular point. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, good morning, Scott. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Hanging in there. Scott, you look at the protesters, and the bigger the crowd, the more dangerous it is. You know what I'm saying? And it's not, it's really not the local people that call it, if they have a riot or whatever, it's really not the local people, it's the outsiders. Now, the right they had or whatever was up in D.C., they were from everywhere. And, you know, they can cause a major corruption, and they go back home and let the, you know, people, local people fight about it. That's what happened up in D.C., really. That was organized right, as plain and simple as that, because our president worked them up before they started, and he was going to join them, too, because I heard him right on the TV. I listened to him. But he got them all worked up and set them up to Temple Hill, and he took off. See what I'm saying?
Well, you know, it's interesting, because as I was heading down to Columbus yesterday, one of the local news stations, television stations, was talking about how this group that we hear so much about, the Proud Boys, that they had arrived, and that it was not a local group, that they had come in, probably from a different state, to start this protest yesterday. And to be honest with you, I don't, the people who were carrying around the big guns, the ARs or the AKs, to me, that did not seem like a local group. I obviously did not walk up and ask them, because I don't think they wanted to talk to the media. But it didn't seem to me like that was a local group. And they were, you know, one of them was dressed, I don't know if they were trying to dress like George Washington or what it was, but they had a powdered wig on, and they were flying the American flag, but it wasn't the American flag. It was kind of it looked like a singed American flag. It was kind of yellow. So I'm not really sure if that was a local Ohio group or not. The one that was carrying around the bigger guns. The other protesters didn't seem to be armed, or if they were, it wasn't the big variety of gun that you could not hide.
Scott, going to hear your voice heard. What would you have to have a gun? What would you have to have a gun? Could you tell me that? Especially these AK-47s and these big guns. What would you have to have that?
Well, that's what I'm still trying to figure out. You know, I still am not sure. And it is anybody's right to protest.
Right.
If they are there to protest that they feel that this election was stolen, they have every right to do that peacefully. But I'm not sure why it was advertised as an armed protest. And I'm not sure why they brought those. I really don't know. I don't know what was supposed to happen yesterday.
Well, they were trying to... doesn't make sense. I mean, you just can't hardly defeat the government. Let's put it that way. Now, hey, you know, they were trying to get in to get the electoral vote. For keep, swipe them, I guess, and keep them from being counted. But, Scott, well, the way that crowd was worked up, it's a miracle that more didn't get killed than what did. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think so. Do you think, because of what happened at the Capitol on the 6th, that it caused these protests that were planned for yesterday not to be so big?
Scott, you... the bigger the crowd, the more dangerous they are. It's just as simple as that. You know that. And it only takes a few. See, be like, if you get a bushel out, you're going to find a bad one in it. It's the same way with people. I'm not against protesting. I'm not against that. But there's rioting. That can't. What happened to the Capitol building was just absolutely terrible. T- to our country. If you know what, all foreign countries are looking at it, this. What in the world is America going to? You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's a lot of question, and again, I don't know what the answers to these questions are, because I'm still trying to figure out what was trying to be done. I don't know. You know, I look at these pictures when the Capitol was breached on January the 6th, and yeah, I see that windows were broken, and I see that offices were broken into, and I see that people took pictures sitting in people's chairs and were carrying podiums around, but I don't know what that was supposed to do. What was that supposed to accomplish?
Well, I really truly can't answer that, except these people that got in there, and showed themselves, pictures and so on, so forth. You better hide, and better hide good, because they're after you.
Well, you know, I I'm not saying they were trying to do this, but, you know, I keep hearing about overthrow of the government. But taking over the Capitol building would not overthrow the government. You know, I as long as the leaders, which there are a lot of them in the House and the Senate, made it out okay, as long as the president is okay, the vice president is okay, the cabinet of the president is okay, I don't know how you overthrow a government by breaking into a building. I mean, they can meet anywhere. Yes, that's where they meet. Yes, that's where their offices are. But breaking in and destroying things in the Capitol, that's not going to stop the government from functioning.
No, you like I said, back. Regardless of what you do to the government, it's going to keep on functioning. But now, how well, I don't know. But they were going to create violent crimes if they'd have got a hold of them public officials. They was after Pete to hang him, our vice president. Because God, what kind of a mob is that? And if they would have got in, they got all the public officials just out at just in time before they got in. You took. I can't imagine what would have happened if they got to them important people. Yeah, especially vice president. Now, the president, they're going to hurt the president. He's off at his. He's out somewhere else. He creates a problem, then he sneaks away somewhere. It's like he was supposed to be in that march. Got to hurt him safe. He worked them people up. What they was going to do, go fight for what, you know, whatever. And I'll join you up here in a little bit. Now, he said that right on TV. I watch TV a lot. I see what he says and don't say. But he said that. But when it started, he was nowhere to be found. Hey. Now, I don't approve of what they done. And in a way, I feel for the people that they go to knock on their doors, but they knew better. You know you can't break in forcibly in the Capitol building of the United States and vandalize it like they did. You cannot do that and get by with it if they catch you. And there are a lot of them going to be caught. They were a lot of innocent people there. But you get a mob. It overrides innocent. I bet you, you know, hey, what are you going to do?
Well, and you know, you cannot, and people have. I mean, there is the point that this past summer, when the Black Lives Matter and the racial protests were going on, some of them did turn into riots, and people's stores were broken into, and people's property was damaged, and that's not right either. It's a crime. You have the right to protest on public grounds. You cannot break things. You can't vandalize things. You can't hurt people. No matter what your cause is, you can't do that. That's not legal. It is legal to protest, but you can't damage things. You can't hurt people, no matter what the cause is. So you know, I keep hearing, and I'm not sure why I keep hearing this, but since the Capitol thing, I keep hearing people say, well, look at what happened this past summer with the Black Lives Matter and that group. Well, no, that's not right either. It wasn't right then, and it's not right now, and this wasn't right. You can't threaten people. You can't break into places you're not supposed to be. You can't vandalize. You can't damage, whether it's the Capitol or it's the local store in town. You can't do it. It's illegal. You'll be arrested.
Scott, if 9 out of 10, if you go back in public and can catch them, them people that calls most of the trucks, all it has to do is take a couple, two or three to start something. And the good people, 9 out of 10, will follow right along, you know. It was probably a group that was from somewhere else, out of town or out of state or whatever. Now, these people who was in D.C., they were all over, man. They from everywhere. And they could get away with this big thing. I don't know why they did it. I mean, they ought to have known good and well that was a crime to break in that Capitol building like they did. They ought to have known better, but they didn't. So they went back to where they came from, Timbuktu. They were all from, all over. They were even from Colorado, Tennessee. Hey, they were from everywhere. Well, if they got their picture on video tape or somewhere, they were all right. Hey, we're safe. But if they got a plain picture of your face, you're not safe. They'll run you down somewhere.
Well, and that's
plain and simple as that.
Well, and you know what? And I want to say that reiterate this again about yesterday, because I saw it firsthand, and I think is going to be the same case this coming Wednesday, Inauguration Day. These police officers, these state highway patrolmen and women, these military, National Guard, that were there yesterday and will be there in D.C. and are already there on Wednesday. Boy, these men and women are putting themselves in harm's way, and they are doing it to keep all of us safe and to keep the politicians and our landmarks, like the State House, like the cathedrals and things of that nature in Washington, the statues in Washington, D.C. safe. So my hat is off to these men and women who I'm sure in January, because it was cold yesterday, and there they were, and boy, they did not budge. And people walking around with guns, people yelling and screaming, they don't budge. So we have to be so aware of the work that these people do that keep us safe.
Well, Scott, look at all these officials that was in the Capitol building. Look how they treated them. Look how they treated them. I mean, they didn't pay no mind to them. It's a miracle that more didn't get killed than what did. Because them security guards had not had every right to shoot them people. But I'm sure glad they did. I don't know, 5 or 6 people got killed. But if people come in shooting, see, there you go. If people, marchers and rights and so on, allowed to carry guns, it could be chaos. Now, if they go to D.C. and cut a shine like they did this last time, there ain't going to be a bunch of people get hurt this time. Because all of them are military people out there, and they sent out to defend themselves.
Well,
and they march on them and create like they did the last week. Somebody's going to get hurt, and there's going to be a whole bunch of them, I'm afraid. I hope, praise the Lord, that it don't happen.
Right. Well, the good news is that much like yesterday, the military was there, the police officers were there, and there were people carrying around the AK or the AR weapons, the big automatic rifles that you clearly could see right out in public, but nobody fired them. And you know what? If you carry them and don't fire them, that's okay too. You know, I believe as long as you have a permit to have that it is legal. I know it is in the state of Ohio. So, hey, as long as you don't fire on anybody, you can carry whatever you want, I guess. So, that's what we need. We need, if you want to carry a flag, if you want to carry a sign. I was so surprised by that, though, because clearly this was a Stop the Steal protest. So when I saw a Black Lives Matter flag, when I saw a Biden-Harris sign, when I saw the gentleman who had the sign that said, "Sore losers, go home," I thought, it's interesting that the other side showed up here, too.
You know, if you got a wound, you don't want somebody to rub something else in it. So, it's all right to have a gun, but I absolutely disapprove it. That's me. Everybody's got their own rights, their own opinion. I don't agree with them carrying to a place of, like you went to yesterday or wherever in a crowd. Why would you want a gun in a crowd? Somebody picks on you, go shoot them? I mean, I'm a little bit afraid you probably could get in more trouble than you could get out of if you did that, even though you have a right to carry a gun. I mean, you know, I don't approve it, but I guess it's... Why would I want to take a gun? I can run a lot faster without one of them guns than I can with it. So, if nobody had a gun, you would have to be worried about somebody shooting you or whatever. But you can't, if it's law, you can't say everybody can't have a, nobody can have a gun. That ain't going to work either. So, it boils back down to individual. That's the way I think about it. So, everybody's got their own opinion. I don't have no need for a gun other than at home. Out away from the house, I ain't figured on getting in no conflict with somebody with a gun or whatever. But coming into my house is a different story. But, Scott, we've got too many guns in this country anyhow. Just go down to Columbus, stay around a little while and see what goes on. I mean, they drive by the car and shoot you. What kind of society is that?
Well, I guess we hope a society that maybe gets better as time goes along. You know, I don't think that, as you have said, owning a gun is a bad thing. I don't, you know, this is America, and this is the way the laws are right now. But just don't shoot people. Don't shoot people who don't need to be shot. As long as that's not happening, I don't think there's going to be a lot of complaint about people having guns, as long as you're not shooting people who are not needing to be shot.
Well, Scott, why would you have to have these AK-47s that shoot? Why would you want one of them guns? What would you want one of them things for?
But
now there are a lot of people does, and I don't understand it. If I can't kill somebody with one or two shots, I throw my gun down and then run then.
Well, you know what's interesting? I have asked this before because I'm not really sure why. And an answer that I get a lot is that people collect them or they like to go to shooting ranges and use them there. And that's, I guess, okay. I mean, I don't think there's any law against that in this country at this point. But what confuses me is why they were carrying them at the State House yesterday. You know, that's not a shooting range. That's not a place where you show off your collection. So I'm not sure why, and it wasn't everybody, but why certain groups were doing that. I don't understand that. Because if it truly is about collections, and it truly is about shooting ranges, why were they carrying them there yesterday?
Well, the only thing I could say is, it would have made whoever it was, it wasn't very many, I know, it couldn't have been, made him look big, made him look bad. Carrying a gun there in that place with all them people And no, you can't pour it there. It's illegal. You can carry it, but it's really illegal to pour it there. Regardless of what happens, he don't have no right to pour it where he's at. So, but there are people that's always got to have something somebody else has got. Let's put it that away. And that, I don't know. Scott, if you come up with answers to improving our society, put it on the air so I can hear it. We please.
We'll throw it out to the audience right now, and we'll see it. I mean, maybe there is an answer, and maybe we just don't know it. So I'll put it out here, and we'll see if we can come up with anything.
Okay, good luck. Hey, have a nice holiday.
Yes.
And let's hope if we have protesters, let's pray that and it don't get violent. Which, if they go to Washington like even half like they did before, they're going to be violent. They're going to be violent, ain't no doubt. Because they're waiting for them now.
Let's hope not.
So I hope it don't turn out that way anywhere. So, hey, God bless you. Take care.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. And the phone lines are open. Again, if the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. Give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. And I'm not asking this as a facetious question, because I do want to know the opposite side of this, or if you have a different viewpoint. What do you think the purpose of this protest was yesterday? Not the fact that they were there. Just the fact that, why armed, and what is the purpose of that? I'm not sure. And if you have an answer, and how, as the last caller said, how we can fix society to maybe be a little less combative with each other, because we're going to have to do that at some point. It doesn't matter who's in office, or who's got what chamber of the Senate or the House. At some point, we are going to have to get along. What are we going to do? What is the plan here once we get past Wednesday? Are we just going to stay angry with each other? I don't know. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 55 minutes past the hour. And remember, if you're getting a busy signal, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on calling back in. And what did you make of these protests yesterday? Or what is planned for the upcoming week? Now, I do have some audio that I took yesterday that I'm going to play next hour, so stay tuned for that, live from Columbus. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I read in the Marion Star yesterday that this is perhaps the beginning of a civil war. And that's why, you know, we have all these people, you know, doing what they're doing.
Now, was this a guest column, or did a reporter write this?
I don't know. It was in the Marion Star yesterday. I'd have to look it up here. Let me see if I can find it real quickly. I don't know who wrote it.
Do you remember what the idea of the article, why is this the beginning of a civil war?
Because of all the conflicts we have. But, you know, I didn't try to memorize it or anything. Let me see if I can. Here it is. Talk of civil war grows among some in GOP. And it was in the USA Today section of the Marion Star. And it says here, the rhetoric mimics that of far-right extremists. And this article apparently came from Birmingham, Alabama.
Well, and, I do think, and like I said, I didn't read the article, but there might be a civil war within the GOP, which is the Republican Party, because I think what they're going to have to try to figure out after Wednesday, when President Trump is no longer president and they no longer have control of the Senate or the House, the Republicans, I think that what they're talking about is, are we going to continue with President Trump as our leader, even though he's not president anymore, or are we going to try to reform this party as something else so we can try to win back some of these chambers, the Senate, the House, maybe whoever's going to be our next presidential candidate in 2024. I think the Republican Party's trying to figure out, because I think half of the people think they should stay loyal to President Trump, and half the people think he needs to go inside that party itself.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely it, yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, what's your feeling on what do you think they should
do? Well, really, I'm not a politician. I haven't really voted that many times in my life because of that. And every time I do vote, I've got friends that just hound me. I mean, they say, oh, yeah, you're a Republican. Oh, yeah, you're a Democrat. Or if I vote independent, then they go that route on me. So this is what's happening out here. I guess it's a million people that do not vote.
You know what's sad, and I've heard this a lot recently, people will ask who you vote for, and you tell them. I mean, you're honest with them.
Yeah, you're honest about it, yes.
And then they criticize you.
That is correct, and that's what's wrong out here. I don't even know now if anybody's going to ever go back to the polls and vote if they don't get all this corrected. And I believe that's what they're talking about here, about that article of Civil War, because I think they're afraid they're going to lose the voters. And, you know, the voters are, you know, we the people.
Well, it's interesting to me because if we look at the statistics from the last election, more people voted in that election than had ever in the history. And Joe Biden received more votes than any candidate in presidential history.
Mm-hmm. So, well, they said even the dead voted this last election.
Well, those things, you know, if there is evidence and people want to present that, I'm okay with that because I don't want the dead voting. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have any evidence and we're just saying that to get people riled up, I don't like that.
Yeah, well, I don't know what evidence they have. I just know what I've been reading.
Oh,
you know,
well, no, and I've heard it too. I've heard that too.
Oh, you've heard it too.
Oh, yes, I've heard that too. But I mean, again, if you present evidence to that effect, then I'm okay, because then I'm going to say, okay, well, why did the dead vote? We need to look into this. But unless there's evidence, I think that's just something, again, that creates division and riles people up, because they do think that things were stolen. They do think that, you know, and if they were, just let's see some evidence. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. I just wanted to call in, and I don't want to take up your whole program here because I know other people have, you know, their thoughts on all this.
Well, I appreciate it.
I just wanted to let you know that was in yesterday's USA Today section of the Marion Star.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, and I do want to remind everybody, we got a whole nother hour, and I am going to play the clip the little segment that I did in Columbus yesterday. It's about 6 minutes long. I'll play that next hour. And we do have mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp coming up at 10:10 this morning. We do have Voice of a People today at 4:10 and Mike Wilson at 5:10, all today here on WWGH Radio. Stay tuned. We're coming back in about 15 minutes, and you can call in 740-383-9944 back in 15 minutes.
He's gotten very little criticism for being out of the state, though.